And now, the Flophouse Movie Minute.
Did I ever tell you about my cyborg movie? I want to make a movie where James Spader and Christopher Walken were cyborg cops.
Man, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, and the ending is like the end of Hard Boiled. They're punching each other so hard that their skin is ripping, and you see the metal underneath.
Seriously,
Anyway, we can.
So I wanted to do some listener feedback. We actually have some emails, and if you want to email us, it's theflophousepodcast@gmail.com. But the first one is from Fed. Someone that we all know to varying degrees.
Oh yeah, he's a good guy. Beautiful apartment.
And the reason I'm reading it is this is a Flophouse contest entry. But as someone that we know, he is disqualified from actually entering the contest.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like it's unfair.
I guess so.
And I talked to Fed. He understands. But he sent in this message: "Dear Sir or Madam, I heard about your contest by listening to the last two episodes of your podcast. It was not surprising to me that you received no entries, mainly because you guys showed no enthusiasm for the contest, and the rules were incomprehensible at best, dangerous at worst. However, since I enjoy your podcast very much, I decided to throw my entry into the proverbial ring. In order to help you grow your listenership and officially comply with some of the vague rules you clarified in the 10,000 BC podcast, I have placed I enjoy the Flophouse podcast as my I am status message and will continue to do so for no less than 2 or 3 days. Since I have upwards of 30 people signed in and seeing my status message per day, that's nearly 60 eyeballs. If my calculations are correct, you should get at least 1 or 2 new fans at the end of the run." So that's from our friend Fed.
Thank you very much, Fed.
And I want to
Fed rocks.
I want to mention Fed hosts a much more successful podcast. I'm sure I'm going to not pronounce this correctly because I am a American and can't pronounce
an American.
Other
nice grammar.
That I your said first an one? American.
You said a American.
he does a podcast called Puromac. It's the number one podcast about Apple products in the Spanish-speaking world. So the format is two friends having a not always so friendly discussion of Apple news, products, and tip. Our website address is http://puromac.com, and you can find it on iTunes. It's one of the top 10 podcasts across Spain. So if you're bilingual,
wow. And like Mac products,
that's the podcast for
you. That sounds good.
I had no idea his podcast was that big.
Yeah,
I know he did.
He's huge in Spain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe you should just take over for us.
Yeah.
And watch movies and make fun of him.
Yeah. He's like the Ramones, where they, like in New York, they couldn't get a show going. But when they went to South America, they were huge. They were like the Beatles.
That's true.
Except his in Spain, and he wouldn't do like a stadium show because
he'd
just talk about Mac products.
Yeah. He'd be like, "Oh, the MacBook Air is really light."
Well, they love Mac.
I'm sure that's the
But he would say in Spanish.
Analysis that he gets into.
They love Mac products in Spain, I think.
Well, it's global.
Oh, okay.
A guy named Jameson, last name withheld. He writes about our Teen Wolf movie minute. And
Jameson sounds like a last name.
He could be. It could be.
Or a whiskey.
A delicious whiskey. He says a lot of things, but what I wanted to read was, "I remember once watching it in a friend's basement, and our attention had turned to something else as the credits rolled in the background. This was before they did the hyperdrive split-screen credits thing, so you can't read anything. So at one point, we kind of glanced back at the TV with the title card scrolling over that locked shot of the bleachers in the big game."
I love that the credits roll over a freeze frame on the end of the movie, like it's a TV show.
"And we notice that one of the extras in the scene is sneakily undoing his pants and slowly taking them off during the entire credits. It goes on for a very long time, and they don't edit this out in the TV version either." Now, you mentioned this, I think, in passing when we did the movie Minute on this. But I actually didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that there was actually...
Yeah, there's an extra in the corner of the screen who whips his dick out, and I guess no one noticed it ever. And the scene is online and readily available. If you look for, like, Teen Wolf penis, then hopefully that's what you'll find.
That's a and pretty not common some, thing to search
not
for.
Not some horrible...
Not fan art.
Yes, not some horrible lycanthropy fetish page. But there's some guy on the side of the frame that no one ever noticed was just taking his penis out in the middle of shooting the movie. And if memory serves correct, there's a female extra who notices it as he's putting his penis away, and you can see her kind of be shocked and horrified for a second. But
is it kind of like the ghost in Three Men and a Baby?
Well, that's not real. That's a.
This is a real penis.
This is a real. This is not a ghost penis.
Okay.
Or a shadow of something. This could be a penis.
Yeah. It's not John Astin having sex with a mummy in The Frighteners. This is a real penis.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That was a ghost penis. But it's like, this is. And I never noticed it. And when I was a kid, I never noticed it. And I didn't know about it until about a year or two ago when someone pointed it out to me. But I watched that movie probably 50 times when I was a kid, at least. And I never noticed that the penis being taken out. So.
Subconsciously, you did, though.
And that's why I'm gay today. I'm gay now, and why I love gay movies and people taking their penises out.
Oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense then.
I want to Google Teen Wolf penis now and see what happens.